Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in John chapter 4. So the thread that holds together our Old Testament and our gospel reading for today is that of thirst. In our gospel reading, Jesus comes to the well, and there he meets the Samaritan woman, and he asks for a drink of water. But then he very quickly turns that into a spiritual conversation about living waters. And then you go to our Old Testament reading, and we see that the children of God have come to Rephidim. As the story goes, it's the 10 plagues, and God has released his people from their bondage in Egypt. They have traveled, and then they have come to the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea for them, and they pass through. And now they are traveling down towards Mount Sinai. They've already come through a couple crises. The crisis of no food. And so God has given them manna from heaven and the quail. And now they come to another crisis. The crisis of no water. And the people begin to grumble against Moses. And they said, give us water to drink. That's the presenting issue, thirst. But really, as we go through the text, we see that there's something more going on there, a spiritual problem. As we come to the end, we see that they are afraid. And what are they afraid of? Well, is the Lord with us or not? And so they put God to the test. Prove to us that you are with us. But they're afraid. And it seems to me that as we gather here today, that we are not so dissimilar from those folks. You take thirst and you swap it out with sickness. And it gets us pretty close to where we are today. You know it. People are anxious. They are afraid. They're uncertain about things. Where is this thing going? What's going to happen in the next days, in the next week? What's going to be closed down next? Will I be able to get the things that I need? People are afraid. And it's not just a physical issue, it's also a spiritual issue as well. Lurking behind is that question, is the Lord with us or not? The answer in the Old Testament reading comes rather quickly. So God leads Moses with staff in hand, yes, that very same staff that he had stretched out over the Red Sea, that parted the Red Sea, that very same staff, and he took him to the rock at Horeb. And he told Moses to strike the rock. And as he did so, then waters came forth. And it's interesting, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you see that the Apostle Paul interprets that. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he tells us that that rock was Christ. And living waters, waters for the people, waters to give life, flowed from that rock. Which is, of course, a wonderful bridge to our text for today, our gospel reading, where is another story about thirst, where the Samaritan woman comes to the well in order to draw water. The woman has a hard life. It's hard work what she's doing, especially when she's doing it. It's at noon, the sixth hour. What's she doing there at the well at noon? Nobody draws water at noon during the heat of the day. Everybody comes in the early morning when it's cool, or perhaps in the evening. And it's also the social hour. The women come down to the well and they talk with one another as they're doing their work. It makes the work easier. But what's this woman doing coming at noon? That's the first clue in our text that something's not quite right here. That this woman is struggling. Her burdens are indeed significant, and the work that she has is made harder by the men that she has known. Or maybe we should say, by the men who have known her. The men who have taken her, used her and sent her away, dismissed her with a certificate of divorce. Five of them. And now, the man that she has won't even call her wife, won't call himself husband. It's a burden this weary woman is carrying. And so she comes to the well. She comes to the well to get water. But she comes to the well needing something far greater than that. She needs the restoring of her soul. But how do you restore a soul? We know what to do with the body, right? We have wonderful doctors and surgeons. And you go to them and they do tests and they diagnose your problem. They give you some medicines. It changes the function of your body and makes things better for you. Or maybe they have to cut you open. They can go in there and they fix something. Or they take something out and put something new back in. Amazing stuff that they do. Yeah, see, we know how to restore the body, don't we? But the soul, what do you do with the soul? You can't see it. You can't touch it. How are you going to operate on it? How are you going to fix it? What are you going to do with the soul? Yeah, maybe we don't know so much what to do with the soul. But we sure know that we can destroy it. That we can just destroy it with abuse and violence and trauma and divorce and death. And the list goes on, doesn't it? All of these things make us thirsty and sick in spiritual ways. What is it that St. Augustine once said? You made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. You made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. So it's not just that woman who was restless, but we too. We come here today to this well as restless people. People who are thirsty, needing more than just the care for our physical bodies. That restlessness is evident among us in the stores by the empty shelves that we see there. No toilet paper, no paper towels, no hand sanitizer, soaps, no meat. You know, you go there and you find in the anxiety meter goes up a notch or two. You turn around and you look at the other way, and there's people with their shopping carts heaped with all kinds of stuff. Do you really need all of that? And the anxiety meter goes up another notch or two. And then we look to our hollow, cavernous sports arenas, where just a half a week ago we thought all we would hear would be the squeaking of the sneakers and the bouncing of a ball and maybe a referee's whistle. But that soon turned into a guy pushing a dust mop across the floor. Nothing more. And then the schools closed. And those places where we expect to see young people eager to learn and having fun. And instead we see the signs of summer recess, quietness, rather than late winter. The restlessness moves with us. Moves with us from event to event through time. And it's taking us someplace and seems to be shaving off a little bit more of that dignity, that honor, making us a little bit less human as we go, feeling a little bit like that woman, taken, used, and discarded. Living water. That's what she really needed. And what we really need is living water. So Jesus, the good shepherd, comes to the well and sits on the well in order to meet her. And I know that title for Jesus is not used in that text. I imported it. We're not going to find out about Jesus, the good shepherd, for another 6 chapters in John until we get to John chapter 10. But it doesn't mean that already he's not the good shepherd. And as you read it, isn't that kind of what's going on here? That Jesus comes to be the good shepherd for her? We've learned to know Jesus as what? The one who leads us beside the still waters. The one who restores our soul. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. And so it is that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes to meet this woman at the well. He engages her in conversation. He offers to her living water, but she doesn't understand. Just like last week when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he talks to him about being born again and he doesn't get it. How can you, as an old man, enter your mother's womb a second time to be born? Here, this woman doesn't understand what living water is either. And she says, "Sir, where are you going to get this water? You don't have a bucket. The well is deep. How are you going to get water? Living water. Are you greater than our father Jacob? You know, whose well this was, who watered his sheep here, who gave it to his sons? Are you greater than him?" And yeah, that's kind of the point, isn't it? The point is that he is greater. He is indeed the Lord. But the water that he gives is not going to come from any well, but it comes from himself. He is the living water that is being given. And so finally we see that this woman encounters a man who's not there to take from her, but rather to give. He's not there to use her, but he gives to himself to her. He doesn't dismiss her, but he invites her to himself. He gives himself. He gives his forgiveness. He gives his life, eternal life. He gives to her living waters. He gives her dignity, and he gives her hope. And today, Jesus meets you here at the well as well. As you come to this well, Jesus gives to you living waters. And just as Jesus understood that woman and her needs, not just her physical needs, but her deep spiritual needs, so Jesus understands you as well in all of your needs, both physical and spiritual. And he comes to give himself to you. His forgiveness, his life, death, and resurrection, eternal life. He gives it all. He doesn't come to take, to use, to dismiss you, but rather to give you everything that you need. He's your good shepherd. And he comes today to lead you beside the still waters, to restore your soul. Yes, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, because he is with us, we fear no evil. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. In his name.